This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Hey, thanks for being with us. Man, there was a lot that happened yesterday and last night. And so today's show, we're going to go a lot of different directions. I love Wednesdays. Wednesdays, we have Talk to the Lopes, Grand Canyon University, in partnership with us. Every Wednesday, just after 11 a.m., we have Talk to the Lopes. Today, we will have Derek Leader, the GCU women's soccer coach, as part of Talk to the Lopes. 11:15, Friday night, 360 AZ. Our new show, we debuted just a couple of weeks back. Great response so far to it. A high school football preview show hosted by Haley Stasiak and Jordan Hamm. They go all over the place around the state of Arizona to preview the upcoming high school football weekend. It's the only weekday show that I know of, that especially that's hosted by two pros that are plugged in and dialed in. And they're going to have Jason Mons with them, the head football coach over at Saguaro. Saguaro's playing up in Nevada. And they also have Brandon Huffman from Scout.com. He is on the national stage. You know, there's Jason Jewell, who's the godfather. And then there's people like Brandon Huffman, who's really, really good on a national stage. And so they're going to talk some recruiting and also the players that are coming in for IMG Academy. This Saturday night, IMG is playing at Chandler High School. And guys, if you're watching this, anybody who's watching our show daily, we're all about community. So this Saturday night, yeah, the Cardinals are going to be down in Atlanta playing a preseason game. I think it starts at 4 or 5 in the afternoon. The starters will be out of there. The Diamondbacks will be at home. Their game's at 5. Saturday night, if you're in a community and you're just into football, Eric, you've been in the bullpen. That's what we call our little backstage here. What are we hearing about, and this will be a better question maybe for Jordan and Haley. You may be able to answer it. What is it, north of 30 Division I players between Chandler and IMG that are going to be on the field at Chandler High School on Saturday night?
Right? I don't know a number, but that seems about right.
I heard there's 20 of the players on IMG or Division I or top 200.
I believe it. They have an offensive lineman, Brad, who I featured in my zone read last year, who's an Australian rules football player who has barely played any football, and he already has like two dozen major college offers.
He's just a big kid, right?
Yeah, but he's super athletic. He's been to the camps. He did the camp tour, and all of a sudden people latched on. But yeah, it should be an amazing atmosphere out there. And just from what Coach Iguano said when we went out to tape AZ Audibles earlier this week, he is quietly confident that the Wolves can hang on Saturday.
So that'll be fun on Saturday. When you heard the Kyrie trade, what do you think?
Crazy.
I've thought
just like it's one of those things, Brad, where typical NBA offseason. You don't hear anything about the Kyrie Irving trade or rumors finally for like a week.
Right.
And then boom, Woj bomb just hits the timeline. And it seems like a pretty fair trade for both teams.
I was disappointed. But then when you see how the trade went down, there's no way the Suns could have competed on that.
I don't think so.
There's no way.
I don't think so.
And then I start to think of, okay, so now the Marvin Bagley card is in play, because now that they have Brooklyn's number one pick, unless Danny Ainge feels, and we know this now, Danny Ainge is an assassin.
Yep.
You do not want to make deals with Danny Ainge. You just don't. And so while everybody today is just saying the greatest trade ever for Cleveland, I don't know, when they made the trade with Brooklyn a few years back, and there goes Kevin Garnett, and there goes Paul Pierce.
It was one of the best trades in the last decade.
My gosh. That you would have to go down maybe as ever when you consider the haul that he got back,
yep,
right? And in the offseason, when the season ended, if you would have thought that Danny Ainge would turn around and trade Isaiah Thomas when the season ended, after everything went on, he lost his sister, he plays gutty basketball, hard-nosed kid, gets hurt a little bit,
mm-hmm,
and that's enough. And then the trade happens yesterday.
Well, the Celtics were chasing Paul George, and that didn't happen.
Right.
So I wonder if Danny Ainge thought he needed to save face and do something, because everyone else had done something. And now he's got Kyrie Irving. So
the NBA is very interesting to me now.
It is.
The regular season, and this isn't about building a mega team, is it? Because this was not a free this was not a free agent move. So,
but I like the trade for both teams. I know that's kind of that's kind of hitting it right down the middle of the fairway. But I think
which you never do
considering the Cavs were kind of at the mercy of Kyrie. I mean, when Kyrie says I want out, it's public that hey, this is he's going to get traded eventually. And to get, you know, Crowder and to get Isaiah Thomas and that pick, is it's a good deal.
It's just a pick to me because, well, and we'll have Eddie Johnson with us here in a few minutes. So that happened yesterday afternoon. And then I'm watching the Diamondbacks game, and they jump out early. And Patrick Corbin has suddenly become really good. Patrick Corbin was not very good, in my humble opinion, early in the season. And so the game yesterday against the Mets, and yeah, the Mets stink, and we're not facing Syndergaard when we're watching the Diamondbacks. I'm not seeing Noah Syndergaard. I'm not seeing the best of the best that the Mets have to throw out there, right, when it comes to starting pitching. I get that. But J.D. Martinez, it's a bomb out. It's his 10th home run since the Diamondbacks picked him up, 26th on the season. They have a big lead. Things get a little interesting, a little dicey in the ninth. They bring in Rodney. They finish it off, and they win 7-4. So all of the anguish and all the angst and all of the, oh, my gosh, the Diamondbacks are falling apart. Now, I have been part of that. Yes, I have said they stink. They have been awful. And when you get swept at Minnesota, you do deserve to be called out. No question. But then you look up today and you see that guess who's in first place in the wild card today? The Diamondbacks. Okay? So it happens that quickly where you win a couple of games. Colorado cannot win on the road to save their lives. If you go look at Colorado's road record the second half of the season, first half of the season, they were really good. Second half of the season, the Rockies on the road stink. Go look it up. So they win 7-4 and they have Zach Godley on the mound tonight. And you know, Zach Godley and Taijuan Walker have had this little up and down thing. Both of them like to get into high pitch counts. Both of them will get up 0-2, 1-2. I heard Tom Candiotti talking about this last night, and I've been thinking the same thing. It's like these guys can't put people away. And so a big start for Zach Godley tonight. If you come out of beating New York, you take 3 of 4, you're able to get a 4-game sweep, and you come home to the stinking Giants, then all of a sudden people feel a little bit better. So it was a good night for the Diamondbacks last night. Of course, the other big story that happened last night, well, there's two of them. One is just asinine. The other, well, maybe they were both asinine. I don't know. The Trump rally. So I'm by a television in the afternoon. I am back teaching at Arizona State. I am adjuncting again within the Cronkite School. So I'm consuming media again on a daily basis, a little differently. I am not one to watch television news because I've been in there. Nobody likes to see how sausage is made. Sausage may taste good. No one likes to see the parts of sausage that are picked up off the floor and are turned into sausage. I have to go back and watch sausage knowing how all this stuff comes down. So last night I have to sit there and watch every channel show a police motorcade of motorcycle cops analyzing their formation at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I flip back over the Diamondbacks, and the trade's going down. There's just a lot happening. But I am interested in the Trump deal. And so then Trump does his speech, and it's fine. I'm looking at Trump, and I'm neutral on the whole deal. I watch, I consume. That is the leader of the country, so there's my political side, but I have to be neutral in my what is going on here. That was nothing more than a campaign-style rally last night. But then afterwards, all the fun started. And the fun meaning local news trying to cover tear gas and pepper spray and everything imaginable. And I don't know, Eric, were you wound into the post-mortem last night, all the chaos downtown?
I was wound into every part of it, and then I fell asleep on the couch. I'm not even kidding you. He was talking so long.
Did he put you to sleep?
And
he put you to sleep.
After a while of him bagging on the media and ripping on Democrats and ripping on Republicans and telling us how terrible CNN is, I just checked out.
So. You've done that. You've been there,
just,
done that.
Like, so this was supposed to be a rally speech. This was supposed to be looking forward to the coming year and 2020, and it just turned into the him looking down at his nose and pointing fingers. And I don't want to get so political on the show, but I'm pretty sure almost everyone agrees with. I mean, that you can't dispute the facts of what he said last night. That was the tone and his attitude and his arrogance was something that shouldn't have surprised me. But to see it localized here was really interesting.
It was a bleep show.
It definitely was a bleep show.
Certain points last night, it was a bleep show. It was, and it's not me taking shot at him. It was just the whole thing yesterday, the whole enchilada. So I get a text from my daughter. Actually, she called me at 5:30 and she said, I just got off work. I'm going to the rally. And I'm going down there just to see what it's all about. And I know she doesn't agree with the president. And so it's your daughter who's in her early 20s, and she's got a great heart. She's a youth pastor. She works with kids. She works with people. She gets down there, and I don't hear from her for a while. It's fine. It's fine. My daughter's got to handle her own business. But then I get the text from her about 9:15. Hey, I'm not part of the tear gas. I'm not part of the pepper spray. I'm not part of everything. And so there's that moment as a dad where there was some angst, right? But she said she was giving water to people and trying to help people through it. She was praying with people. She was there to be of peace, but she was not happy with everything that she was seeing down there. So that was my night in a nutshell. While all the sports was going on, any of you that said, just stick to sports. No, this is in our backyard. This is in our community. I'll say the Robert Lee story because that's just too funny. Up next, Eddie Johnson. Try and track down EJ. EJ said he'll join us. He's got his big golf tournament coming up next month. 1, 2, what did he think? SiriusXM's Eddie Johnson, former Suns analyst. Should the Suns have gone further with Josh Jackson to try to get Kyrie Irving? We'll get Eddie's take. That is next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports Television Show tonight on Fox Sports Arizona before and after the Diamondbacks game. Stay with us. And now Eddie Johnson is with us. You can follow Eddie on Twitter at JumpShot8, Suns announcer since 2001, SiriusXM radio co-host. Great stuff that EJ. EJ also, before we get into the big trade, has his celebrity golf tournament coming up at Mesa Country Club on Saturday, September 30th. Helping Hands for Single Moms. EJ does a lot of charity work behind the scenes, and this will be a great event. Again, it's on Saturday, September 30th. Tee off is at 8 a.m., and Eddie Johnson is with us now. How are you, EJ?
I'm good, Brad. I'm having a good time. And may I add, too, that on the 29th is our signature event.
Okay.
And people can go on and the same website, Helping Hands for Single Moms. And that's helpinghandsforsinglemoms.org. And they can come to our tremendous signature event as well that we have at the Montelusia, our resort, on the 29th as well. And that's benefiting, you know, to me, heroes. And then that's the moms of the world and the ones that, you know, are single and then they have to raise their families alone and work a job and try to maybe get an added education and all the things that I feel like moms should have a chance to get. And so it's very important to me. This will be our fourth year. And I just encourage people just to go to the website and check it out. And if you can't attend one of the events, at least leave a donation, because all these funds go to women having a chance to go to college and get that degree to be the role model in their home to their kids. So we're really looking forward to a great event this year.
HelpingHandsForSingleMoms.org, HelpingHandsForSingleMoms.org. When you heard the trade yesterday, where were you and what was your reaction?
Well, you know, I normally get the news first.
Yep.
Because I feel like I have to do that. I'm a radio guy like yourself.
Yep.
And, so I was actually in my little man cave in my house. And I was actually playing Madden 18, which is my addiction, okay?
Yeah.
And so very competitive, you know, behind the scenes. People don't know who I am. I don't use my name or anything. And so all of a sudden, I get a call from my brother-in-law, and he tells me, did you hear about the trade? I need to talk to you. And I'm like, what trade? And I said, no, don't tell me. I'm just going to go look. And then when I saw it, I wasn't shocked, obviously.
Right.
But I was surprised that it was to Boston. And I was surprised at what Cleveland got, because I thought they were in a position where teams could really play hardball with them and they wouldn't actually get everything that they would want. Or I never felt that they could win a deal with another team based on the situation at hand with Kyrie going public saying he wants out. And lo and behold, I think they did both. I think the surprise obviously was Boston.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually felt like they won this deal.
Cleveland did.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And, well, and so let's go through this then, Eddie. Let's start with the Suns part of it first. They didn't have enough. I mean, this is a better deal, in my opinion, for Cleveland than they could have ever gotten out of the Suns because of the pick from Brooklyn. Would we agree on that?
Yeah, but I think the Suns could have made it better. But, you know, obviously they, you know, not willing to give up an unproven player, which is tough. You know, in the NBA, it's funny. The average player is looked upon as, oh, we know what he can do. And we know what he can do. And that's why we always see trades with average players. And we'll be shocked sometimes because those players are pretty doggone good. But I think the thought process is they're not going to get any better. So, you know, we can move him and we can replace him. Whereas with a superstar, it's hard to replace a superstar.
Yep.
And you don't want to roll the dice on a guy that you don't know if he's not going to become a superstar because he's unproven. And Kawhi Leonard probably is the latest example of that.
Right.
So the Suns weren't willing to, you know, give up Josh Jackson. You know, they're not willing to give up, you know, young players that they really haven't graded out yet or know how good they can be. And I think that was really the sticking point with the Suns doing a deal with Cleveland.
So if we're going to parse through this, because Isaiah has a year left on his deal, do you already look at that and say, well, Cleveland's going to let him go and they're going to have space to do something else next year? Do you look at it that way? How do you look at the Isaiah Thomas part of this for Cleveland?
I think it's all predicated on how successful LeBron and Isaiah Thomas play together.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cleveland's looking at this as really a way of keeping LeBron in Cleveland. And I think they've done a tremendous job in at least putting it on his mind and making it difficult for him to leave. Isaiah Thomas averaged 28 points a game last year. Isaiah Thomas last year proved that he could carry a team. Isaiah Thomas was one of the top fourth quarter scorers in the league. Isaiah Thomas showed toughness and grit when his sister was unfortunately killed in a car accident. He was still able to go out and do his job. He proved a lot last year. And so they got a ton for him. So Cleveland would want to keep that guy.
Right.
And if that guy could play well with LeBron, then that probably could enhance LeBron and stand. So I don't think they're looking at this as a rental. I think they're looking at this as, you know, man, if we can now, and I truly believe they're a better team now than they were last year. And there's no disrespect, Brad, to Kyrie, who I think is a marvelous player. But I've always said, three players is better than one. And they pretty much got four players. They don't know who that fourth player is going to be until next year during the draft, but that's what they got. And they didn't lose points, and they really didn't lose a great defender because Isaiah and Kyrie both struggled on the defensive end. I think Kyrie obviously is a better creative scorer, no doubt about it. I'm saying Kyrie is the better player.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't lose a ton with Isaiah. And then they got Crowder, who's a tremendous defender, a guy that I think is going to be the one that's going to shock people. And then the draft pick. So Cleveland's future looks pretty good. And, again, I think they're a better team coming up this year to counter Golden State than they were last year.
But if you flip it this way, Eddie, we're talking with Eddie Johnson and EJ, of course, you can follow on Twitter at JumpShot8. His event, HelpingHandsForSingleMoms.org. You can get all the information. His golf tournament next month, the 29th and 30th, HelpingHandsForSingleMoms.org. You could flip it this way in that, what if LeBron does leave Cleveland after next season and goes out to the West Coast or goes someplace else? Whether you believe it or not, that is an option for him. Cleveland could say, we're going to detonate this thing and start over because we can, and we can go attract people. I'm not saying that's option one for them. Option one is LeBron stays. But they've set themselves up where there is flexibility in Cleveland now. No question about it, in my mind. They're not strapped.
They're not strapped. And if LeBron leaves, they're not going to be bad.
Yeah. No, that's
because
right.
Because if LeBron leaves, yeah, they'll back the truck up and they'll pay Isaiah.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
You know, so they know now if he does leave, they'll be left with Isaiah. They'll get the number one draft pick next year. You know, they'll have Kevin Love, who's a star, not a superstar, but he's a star.
Right.
And they'll still win. I mean, they'll still compete in the East. And if LeBron goes west, Cleveland will be still the second best team in the East, in my estimation.
Mm-hmm. If you're
So they that's why I say this deal for them was great. That's why I felt they won the trade. And I don't think Boston is better than them right now, even still. Because, look, I like Gordon Hayward. And everybody loves Gordon Hayward. Well, Gordon Hayward's got to show me that he can carry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I thought he struggled last year in Utah. Matter of fact, Joe Johnson was the one that was carrying down the stretch. So I want to see that from Gordon Hayward. He's with his college coach, and that's fine. I want to see Kyrie show he can carry, because that's the one thing, if you compare Kyrie and Isaiah Thomas, that's the one thing that Kyrie has struggled at. He struggled at it before LeBron. And so now he struggled with it when LeBron missed games, when they were in Cleveland together. And so he's got to prove that he can carry a team, because Isaiah did prove it. So there's a lot of things that has to be proven in Boston. And they lost the two best defenders. They lost Crowder and they lost Avery Bradley. So that's why I say, when you look at the whole focus of this trade, Cleveland's still the better team. As long as LeBron is breathing oxygen, I heard my man Shannon Sharp say that this morning, which is a good quote. He said, as long as he's breathing oxygen, he's the best player on the planet. The only way that Kevin Durant and Westbrook, anybody else, can be the best player is if he stops breathing for about 10 seconds. Then he might say it, but when he starts breathing again, he's the best player. So they still have the best player on the planet. They bring Isaiah 28 points a game. They bring defenders. They picked up guys to match up with Golden State, and that's been the whole key here. And I just applaud them for what they've done. They have been creative. I mean, to lose Kyrie and to be standing like they are right now, I don't think anyone felt that they'd be in this position still.
That's really good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, I appreciate your time and your insight as always, and good luck with the event next month.
Yeah, and to say this, you know. I've grown to really love Eric Bledsoe, and man, I'm telling you, I'm glad that and it looks that way. You know, you never know,
right?
But I'm just so glad that he gets an opportunity to keep growing here in Phoenix, if that's the choice. Because I think he's underappreciated, and a lot of because he hasn't been healthy, Brad. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time. But I've seen some maturation in this kid, man, that has been tremendous. And then LeBron has had a lot to do with it because they're very good friends.
Well,
and I just think Eric Bledsoe is going to have a breakout year this year. I think Devin Booker is going to be tremendous. I think T.J. Warren is going to be tremendous. I mean, this is going to be a solid young basketball team. And Suns fans have to get ready for it. Are they going to make the playoffs? I don't know. But I think they're going to make a run at it. I think they're going to be much better, and I think they're going to be exciting. And that's what I want to see. The growth is really bright for the Phoenix Suns right now. And I'm just glad right now at this day that Eric Bledsoe is still a part of it, because I think the kid is going to have a special year.
Good stuff, EJ. Appreciate the time and insight. I'll see you down the road. Thanks.
Okay. Sounds good.
Is Eddie Johnson with us? HelpingHandsForSingleMoms.org, HelpingHandsForSingleMoms.org, and appreciate EJ's insight. Good stuff there. Very passionate in his beliefs, always, when we have Eddie Johnson on. So there's two stories of two guys. One I don't know. The other I've covered, I've not been a fan of, and I'm going to get to both of those and tie them together on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. So there's some news on the football front involving our hometown heroes, the Cardinals. They play at Atlanta this weekend, and they have been relatively injury-free over on the defensive side of the football. Relatively. Like, Carlos Dansby hasn't played here in preseason. It's fine. I know what Los can do. You know what Los can do. They need Los on the field when it matters. But Robert Kimdiche yesterday limped off the field, went to the locker room, And now he's expected to miss 2 to 3 weeks with a calf injury. So Robert Kimdiche in the first preseason game at home against the Raiders, I thought was very, very good. He was a wrecking ball. He was everything that they had talked about and that they need to make a push up front. So once again, we go back to a lot of fake football, and this happened in practice, but it's still in August. You're asking these guys who are already training year-round to go through 5-6 weeks. Just takes one little tweak, and now Robert Kimdiche probably not going to be ready to go for the opener against Detroit, and that's not good news. So other than that, it's that time of year where if Larry Fitzgerald says, I'm in the room with all the other wide receivers, and I take it personal, and I get offended, you know, and all this stuff about Bruce Arians trying to motivate the wide receiving core. He only thinks he had two guys, and so Fitz says, I take it just as personal, and like, this is breaking news. This is not even news. This is filling time in August. Again, this is nothing more than just wasting days of people standing around looking for something, anything. It's not going to mean a damn thing when the season opens against the Detroit Lions. Either they do have receivers or they don't. That's all it is. I mean, we get to this, what is this now, the fourth of these worthless weeks of wasting time? They got to get on a plane and waste jet fuel to fly all the way to Atlanta. At least the Chick-fil-A is going to be open on a Saturday. And then Kimdiche's out, you know. Carson's excited to get everything in this week. So what? Just get it out of the way and please get me to Detroit in the season opener. August is the absolute worst month of the year. Other than fantasy football drafts for fans, for you guys, I think even you guys now have seen what an absolute joke this stuff is in August. There is something interesting, though, when it comes to quarterbacks. Yesterday, I talked about Blaine Gabbert and that I have seen some progress out of him. For a guy like Blaine Gabbert, you do have to use fake football as a way to say, hey, look, you're going up against guys that aren't going to be here anymore. Put some stats up, get people excited. But maybe they are evaluating, and they are evaluating within the organization if he can be somebody in the future to be that gap quarterback. Well, that brings us to Brock Osweiler. Those of you that have watched the show through the years know I have very little regard for Brock and how he left Arizona State high and dry after Dennis Erickson left and Todd Graham came here. Very low regard for someone who just decides to take off because they think they're ready to play in the National Football League. He holds a clipboard. He threw a little tissy fit up in Denver when Peyton Manning ran back on the field. He tried to run on in a game at Oakland. He couldn't play up in Denver, went to Houston, couldn't play in Houston. Now he's in Cleveland, and he still can't play, and he's made a lot of money. There's actually some nicknames, some that aren't flattering that I can't use on the show, that are floating around Brock Osweiler in Cleveland. Now, I will say this, because it is the NFL, there is it the teams that have taken Brock Osweiler and they've not been able to develop him. He hasn't been there long enough. I will say that. I'll use Houston as an example. But I don't know. I trust Bill O'Brien's football acumen over Brock Osweiler's. So he couldn't find a gig, so he goes to Cleveland. Now Brock Osweiler is not going to play in this weekend's Browns preseason game. The third preseason game, which everybody says in following this stuff, is a dress rehearsal. I've seen it through the years. Just wait till the third preseason game. We'll get a true reading if they're ready to play or not. I'm not going to get too high or too low off what the Cardinals do at Atlanta on Saturday night. Just get the clock to zero. But I do think it's important to point this out. Like, if Carson Palmer didn't play this week for the Cardinals and it was Drew Stanton and it was Blaine Gabbert, then I would look at it and say, I'm fine with this. They want Drew and Blaine to get the reps with the first team. Hold Carson out. It's fine. You may say, ooh, there's a big controversy stirring with the Cardinals. And I'd say, yeah, right. It's Cleveland we're talking about here. So DeShone Kizer is going to get the reps at quarterback. I usually don't give one rat's ass about what Cleveland is doing at quarterback here in the offseason, in the preseason. I usually don't care. But this is really interesting to me. Because now Brock Osweiler's name is starting to surface as a potential for teams that have quarterback injuries or concerns here in camp. Being looking at the Ravens, looking at the Colts, looking at Jacksonville, Today, Brock Osweiler's name is circled around all three of those organizations. The Cardinals play the Colts the second week of the season. Andrew Luck hasn't been close to getting on the field. Do you want Scott Tolzien or do you want Brock Osweiler? So it's Cleveland holding Brock Osweiler out this weekend because, A, they don't want him to get hurt because they're looking to move him. B, they already know what he can do, and he's their best option to open the season. Or C, is that they want DeShone Kizer and Cody Kessler to get first-team reps. Not like in Cleveland, there's great first-teamers. They have a pretty good offensive line with Joe Thomas and others. But there's just three ways to look at this with Brock Osweiler. And then I've got to throw it out there because this is the way the NFL works. A guy like Blaine Gabbert has bounced around, and he found a landing spot in Arizona. It appears he's found a landing spot. A guy like Brock Osweiler may be one of those guys that bounces around in his path eventually. I'm not saying today. Well, Seth Matt said he could come to the Cardinals. I'm not saying that today. What I'm saying is any guy that can play quarterback who can stand upright and has a pulse, because there's not a whole lot of quarterbacks that can do that in the league, it may just be down the road he shows up on a radar here. It's kind of like Brian Hoyer. I mentioned that name to Eric yesterday. Brian Hoyer's not bad for NFL quarterbacking now. He came to Arizona, didn't work out. I thought he showed some things, and he's still bouncing around the league. You're not going to win a Super Bowl with him, but I don't think you're going to be as bad as you were in some of the teams that the Cardinals rolled out here in the past with guys. So, yeah, I'm kind of interested in what goes on with Brock Osweiler. Not a fan at all. One of those guys where it feels like it's everybody else's fault than himself. It was just one of those people. And again, I didn't like the way he handled ASU at all. Thought it was just chicken bleep of him to run out of here when Dennis left and Todd came on board. On the other side, we'll have a preview of Friday Night 360 AZ with Haley. We have Talk to the Lopes coming up in about 15 minutes with GCU women's soccer coach Derek Leader. We do Talk to the Lopes every Wednesday with GCU in our partnership. And the apocalypse in the world of sports involving a sports broadcaster and his name potentially ruffling feathers and causing controversy in Charlottesville. I'll have that on the other side too. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, coming up in about 20-25 minutes, Haley's going to be in here with Jordan, and they are going to have week three of Friday Night 360 AZ. Your guys' show's going well.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe it's been 3 weeks that we've done it. The chemistry we have on coming up here and doing stuff is getting there. I think as the weeks go on, we get more comfortable with it, and it'll just keep getting better.
Good. And last week, you went out to your first high school football game. So Haley came out here from Indiana.
Yes.
And so you're making your way around the high school scene over the last 6 months. You went to Perry Desert Vista. What'd you think?
I mean, it wasn't actually my first high school football game. I think it was fall of 2015, must have been. Spent a lot of time covering Saguaro for a class that I was taking at Cronkite ASU. And then last year, I did some stuff with Northwest Christian.
Oh, wow.
During the playoffs for us.
I forgot about Saguaro. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
So, I mean, Desert Vista Perry was a great game. Brock Purdy, outstanding. Derek Klein, I was kind of surprised with
quarterback at Desert Vista.
I was kind of surprised with that, but it was a good game. It was fun, and yeah, I can't wait to get back in it this week.
What do you guys have coming up on the show?
We've got Brandon Huffman, who is the scout.com director of recruiting, coming up. He's going to talk about Chandler IMG and the talent in Arizona, and then we'll have Saguaro head coach Jason Mons talking about the logistics of taking a team out of state, and we will break down week one matchups.
And they're going to Nevada, right?
Nevada, Saguaro's. Yes. I believe it's Liberty High School in Nevada.
And the IMG Chandler game this Saturday night kicks off at 7:30. I've heard it's like over 12,000 people that they're expecting.
That's what I've heard as well, yeah. We went out and talked to head coach John Aguano for Audibles this week. That's now up on the site, so make sure to check that out as well.
Okay, good stuff. See you in a bit. It's Haley Stasiak there, and that is coming up here shortly, where we will turn our attention over on the high school front. Good stuff there. All right, so now let's turn our attention to a story that you just can't script this stuff in sports. There's times where you see things that come along, and it's, wow, this is good for the show. This is low-hanging fruit. And I yesterday had no idea that I was going to be talking about a guy named Robert Lee, who's a broadcaster. Eric, have you seen Robert Lee before at ESPN?
I have not. Not one time. Nope.
So Robert Lee was supposed to do a game to open the season at Virginia. But
And Virginia is located in Charlottesville.
In Charlottesville. And of course, we had the riots there, yep. and we had everything that happened. And they have removed the Robert E. Lee statue. So because Robert Lee's name is too close to Robert E. Lee, and I'm just looking at Robert Lee, and he doesn't look like Robert E. Lee, ESPN decided, Robert Lee is Asian American. Okay. Robert E. Lee, I don't think was. The Civil War ended, 152 years ago. Just call me silly, call me goofy here. Robert E. Lee died in 1870. Who knew? But of course, it's just too close. It's fanning the flames. Something could happen. How could ESPN send Robert Lee?
Not very similar.
How could ESPN be so insensitive? How could they do such a thing?
Liberal the guy on the bias. Right. Liberal bias.
Straight drop, looking right, looking left to throw, touchdown, and people at home are, oh my gosh, people in Charlottesville are, let's go to the streets. Can you believe they sent Robert Lee here?
I guess ESPN gave Robert Lee the option to call another game, and he opted to call another game, not the Virginia game.
So he was more comfortable going to do another game.
Yeah. Our country is so sensitive.
Okay, so let me ask you this, though.
Okay.
If you're in a position of management, and you're sitting in a boardroom, and maybe this was initiated by the agent of Robert Lee, I don't know. I know that somebody had to leak this to absolutely embarrass ESPN. There's no question this had to have been leaked by somebody. It's not like ESPN's going to send out a release saying, hey, so we've decided because, the Robert E. Lee statue's been removed in Charlottesville that we're going to pull our guy whose name is Robert Lee.
The USA Today story that I have up on my laptop right now says this would never have been an issue at all except for the fact that it was leaked to Clay Travis of Outkick the Coverage, who frequently critiques ESPN and accused the company of having liberal bias. And that's how this all started.
If you pull in an announcer and you say, hey, I'm kind of concerned about you going out to do this event. Do you want to go somewhere else? Yeah, I think I should. End of story, right?
Yep.
This is
it wouldn't even, again, it would. This would not even have been, if they would have kept this internal, no one probably would have even known that this was out
there. Yeah, this is not Brent Musburger being pulled off of a game.
No.
Right?
I didn't even know who Robert Lee was before I saw this story
on Robert
Twitter.
Lee's got to be loving this right now.
Probably.
His agent's got to just be absolutely loving this. How is it you became a trending topic? Well, actually, it was about a statue. Do we have that side shot together again? That was, Edwin, if you have that. Actually, people thought that I was I'm just a little too similar. You cannot script this stuff. Just shows up like that.
UVA and William & Mary will have a new play-by-play announcer on their ESPN family of networks for their game in a couple weeks.
It's probably best that he walked off that game because that's an 80-0 game, right?
You would think, William, but I don't really know a lot about Virginia, William and Mary.
I know everything about William. I don't know anything about Mary.
Yeah, and it's week one. Anything can happen. It's college football.
That's right. All right, up next, Talk to the Lopes. We have Talk to the Lopes every week, and then at 11:15, it is Friday Night 360 AZ with Jordan and Haley. Stay with us. You'll hear from coaches, from administrators, from President Mueller last week. We heard from Paul Coro all the way over in Spain. He's now covering all of GCU at GCU, Lopes.com, which is great for Paul and for GCU. This week, and this is near and dear to me because I have a daughter who's a college soccer player. She wanted to go to Grand Canyon University many moons ago out of Basha High, and now she's a senior. And we were talking yesterday. I said, I'm going to have the new coach at GCU on. He's actually not new. He's been there. This is his second season. Derek Leader is with us and building the program up. And so it's interesting to hear from a soccer dad and someone who's been in the club world here in Arizona to how someone is building the program. Coach Leader is with us. How are you, Coach?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Let's talk first about the season and where you are at this point. I know you've got NAU on Friday night up there in Flagstaff, but let's just talk about the season, how it's gone to this point.
Yeah, it was a rough start, but the opponents were pretty challenging. We played Texas Tech in New Mexico. We were at New Mexico and Albuquerque for both those matches, and it was just two tough losses, both 1-0. So we're regrouping, and we'll be back, and we'll be ready on Friday.
What have you seen out of your team so far you like?
I love the fact that we've got the ability. Well, first off, we are playing, you know, starting, I think, 5 first-year players in the last 2 games. We're playing about 7 freshmen total. But what I like is the veterans are stepping up, the older seniors are stepping up, and we have the ability to play different systems and different styles. So it's unique. We weren't able to do it last year. We weren't able to switch on the fly, and that doesn't seem a problem to adjust.
GCU women's head coach Derek Leader with us on the soccer pitch, talking about the program to where it is. What concerns you most then through a couple of matches?
You know, obviously, you know, sometimes you play the Power Five, and we played Arizona in the preseason and then Texas Tech. And athletically, we've just got to get better. We had a hard time dealing with the press. So it's something that we've worked on in practice. As the students have come back, we've added some male practice players to help us play at a faster pace and a stronger tempo. You know, we've got to take better care of the ball possession wise.
You know, when you're building a program, and your history is really interesting. When I was studying you earlier in the week with IMG, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but you come into a program and you mentioned that you have some upperclassmen. So those are players that you inherited. There's got to be a buy-in factor, I would think, Coach, partly. One. Two, you have the new ones coming in, so you've got to go through this chemistry period of adjustment. Is that where you are with this team right now?
I'm hopeful that we're past that, to be honest with you. Last year was, you know, last year was the buy-in process. Last year we had players that were used to, you know, everybody's got a different way of doing
sure.
things, and they were used to the old staff and maybe a different style of play, and it took us a while. I mean, last year, you know, last year was a slow start. We were 0-4, and then we're able to bounce back 7-5-2 after going 0-4. So. I think this year's opponents, the schedule's a lot tougher, but, you know, like I said, we're looking forward to the rest of the season.
Let's talk about building then the program here. And when you go to a prospective recruit's house, what is it that you sell first and foremost about GCU? Because I can go right down the list of the soccer facility over there and say, man, this place is the Taj Mahal. This is great in the academic side. But what is your philosophy on talking to players? What are they coming to GCU for? And what type of player are you trying to recruit right now as you build it?
We talk, I mean, obviously people see the stadium, people hear about the school and know about the growth. You know, we just got ranked, you know, fabulous campus, but it's more about the vibe on campus. It's more about the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I mean, students are moving in now and there's music playing and everybody's happy and people are helping and it's just a wonderful place to be. So when recruits come on campus, they get to see that. We let the recruits, I think it's important that they talk to players, and we let them spend alone time with the players, and the recruits' parents talk to players, because we don't want our staff looking over their shoulders. We want them to answer how they feel about the school, the soccer program, the academics. We want them to answer honestly how they feel, because we've got nothing to hide. It's a wonderful place.
Mm-hmm. And
when we go looking for recruits, we're looking for personality, character, and speed.
And you go to certain parts of the country. I know you're here now where it is Division One, so it's a different brand of athlete than, say, 3-4 years ago when there was a probationary period. Are there certain parts of the country you go to? I mean, your history with IMG Soccer Academy, I would think it would be a natural you'd look there. Do you go to Southern California? Do you go to soccer hotspots? Or are you just worldwide?
All right, we're everywhere. Typically, wherever the big events are, we're going. We've got 3 staff that are allowed to recruit. By the way, one's from Basha High, our goalkeeper coach. But we go wherever we can to find the best players that we can. You know, typically it's regional where kids want to go to school, but not always. So we've got kids on the roster from Florida, Ohio, all over. Most recently, I was in Southern California.
And so that to that end, every year you have how many to give? I'm being really specific here for those fans that say, boy, I want my daughter to go play. But they've got to understand, because I've been through the recruiting process with my daughter. It's an NAI school, and it's fine. Each school has their own limitations. How many per year do you like to take? Are you allowed to take?
We don't have limitations on it. You know, usually we look at the graduating class. 17, this year's class was our big one because it was our first class. I think we had 10 incoming kids, 10 new players. 2018 is pretty big as well. I think we've already got 8 committed for 2019. I think we only have five committed, sorry. In 2020, it's going to be a small class. We've got 2 kids already. But we never say that we're done because, right, you know, sometimes we have invited walk-ons. We know 2021 will end up being a huge class for us just because of our graduation rate.
And that's how far ahead parents and coaches have to look when they're considering getting their kids to not just GCU, but anywhere. That's my point, is this is not something that, well, what are we going to do next year? Well, let's just sit down and figure it out. No, you're 3 and 4 years ahead on the curve.
Yeah. I don't like it. Yeah. I don't know if it's right, but if you don't jump on the train, you're going to miss out.
And as Coach referred to, Jordan, he didn't say Jordan Day's name, but I will because she was a flat stud at Basha High, just a flat stud, and she is a part of his staff. Talk to the Lopes every week, our weekly segment. GCU women's soccer head coach Derek Leader is with us. What is your schedule on scheduling philosophy, Derek? How do you want to go about putting it together?
You know, it's been a challenge because you know, obviously the weather and you know, the challenges in the non-conference segment is getting the matches. The WAC doesn't have a lot of teams on the women's side, so we've got a lot of matches to fill in. Mm-hmm. We've struggled. You know, some teams are afraid of the heat. You know, everybody's got their challenges, whether it's altitude or what have you. We've tried to get some good opponents from an RPI standpoint. You know, Texas Tech. You know, it's not the worst thing in the world to lose to Texas Tech. They're sure receiving votes already in the top 25, so we'll see how they end up at the end of the year. You know, we've got Washington State, Pac-12 team, on the schedule in the future. We're always trying to add a couple quality teams whenever we can. We're going to scrimmage Arizona again next year. Like I said, Washington State and Gonzaga next year. We take a trip to Colorado to play Northern Colorado and Colorado State. We're going to Hawaii next year. So we've got all kinds of things. UCF in 2019. I can go on and on.
And let's go over to IMG Academy. So that experience there for you, that's a prestigious academy. Obviously, this week the football team from IMG Academy is coming out here to play over at Chandler High School. The IMG brand has been around through the years, all the way back to the tennis days. I'm just wondering, what did that experience do for you, and how did that come to be for you?
That was probably that was a highlight for me because it was a factory. It was a factory of, you know, back then it was just solitaire tennis, and then they added soccer and I think baseball, and golf. So it was very, very small at the time. And I was there at the beginning when we started the guys, and then we started the women's teams. Mm. For me, it was being around, really, I was a young assistant to 2 guys who coached professionally in MLS. It was being around, you know, Exos that is out here.
Yep.
in Phoenix. That owner, Mark Verstegen, started there, so all the science behind the nutrition behind all the athletes, I was right there learning and growing as a young coach, including the mental side in sports psychology. Trevor Moad, he's actually out here in Phoenix as well. He works with a lot of college football teams, NFL teams, on and on. So I was around all these people. It was just a fantastic place to grow. I was coaching every day. Tons of guys I worked with that went on to play in MLS. So it was just a fantastic experience.
Yeah. Well, that's great. It's great. You're doing a great job over there building the program. We appreciate the time. Appreciate the visit. Best of luck rest of the year. Thanks.
Thank you.
Talk to the Lopes every week. We appreciate head coach Derek Leader from the women's soccer team at Grand Canyon University. That is Talk to the Lopes. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.